There's a chance of a U.S.-Mexico trade agreement today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Trade negotiators worked over the weekend to try to overhaul the U.S.-Mexico part of the NAFTA agreement. There's no official word, but CNBC, among others, is reporting that the announcement of a deal could come today. Economist Julia Coronado is with Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I don't know if it's an end game in the negotiations, U.S.-Mexico, on overhauling NAFTA. I assume market players are watching this carefully.
Yes, I think that's lending some optimism to the tone in markets this morning. I would caution, I feel a little bit like Lucy in the football. We've seen this before, and it all comes down to Donald Trump and his decision to rubber stamp and approve these negotiations. So we'll see. But right now, the reports are that we're close.
And we may see this in some of the market prices today. But to what extent, Julia, do you think this is about more than just U.S.-Mexico NAFTA? I mean, this may be a sign that these trade disputes can actually lead to something. It's not just the ongoing war in perpetuity.
That could be the case. I would, again, be very cautious about drawing such conclusions from this. We haven't seen the details of the deal, number one. And number two, the situation and the negotiations with China are far broader and far-reaching and much more complex. So I wouldn't want to draw a straight line from a NAFTA deal to trade wars in general.
All right. China, the EU, and President Trump is meeting with the president of Kenya today on trade and investment. So we'll see how that goes. Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Tesla shares down 1.5% now as market players digest the news on Friday night that the electric car company isn't going to get a consortium of rich investors to buy back its shares and then jump out of the public stock market. Some companies have gone private to escape the grinding short-term demands of the regular stock market, but Tesla CEO Elon Musk, after checking with his board of directors, has decided to abandon any plan to go private, even though he had tweeted that he had, quote, funding secured to do that. One of our regular sources follows this closely. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Morning to you, Eric.
Hello, David.
All right, Eric, if you were to pick perhaps two of the larger reasons Mr. Musk abandoned his big idea, what would the two be?
He couldn't raise the money. First reason is he talked to two of the world's best investment bankers, and they told him, no way, Jose, he was not going to raise the money. And then he got message from the Saudi wealth fund that, no, they were not going to give him the money either. So he just couldn't put together the money.
Well, one of the stated reasons for abandoning all this, Eric, is that Musk was worried about the power that his investors would have if he went private, particularly the Saudi sovereign wealth fund, which his money from producing oil, which tugs against the idea of an electric, sustainable car company.
Yeah, they're antithetical, and that would have been a problem for Musk, but he didn't even get that far because they just passed on the money. So he didn't have to face that sort of moral, ethical dilemma.
Does this move now help Musk's potential problems with securities regulators who are looking into whether Musk's original tweets about this were true?
No, the question is still, were they true when they were made? Nothing changes with the SEC or the private litigants. They're still going to come after him.
All right, Eric, you're following this closely. Some wonder if Musk has gone from Tesla's biggest asset to Tesla's biggest risk. What do you think?
You know, I think he might have at this point. He's been the leader. He's been the person who invented and built it. But the company has gotten to the point where maybe it needs somebody, a stable leader, a leader who will listen to other people, a leader who will have credibility that Musk has probably lost.
All right. Well, we'll see how it plays out. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Professor, thanks.
My pleasure, David.
We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The Iranian parliament has ousted that country's finance minister. MPs held a vote of no confidence for Masoud Karbassian over problems in the banking system, tax regulation, and his failure to present a plan to fix the Iranian economy. The BBC's Sebastian Usher says the finance minister is actually the second high-level firing.
The Labour minister was sacked after a vote of no confidence just 3 weeks ago. The government of President Hassan Rouhani has struggled to find solutions to the long-standing failings in the economy. The plummeting value of the currency matched by rising prices has brought sporadic protests across the country since the start of the year. The reimposition of sanctions by the US after its withdrawal from a nuclear deal has further sharpened the crisis. The foreign minister, Javad Zarif, has accused the US of waging psychological war.
Sebastian Usher with our partner broadcaster, the BBC, there. And a quick item about Apple that's not the tech company in Cupertino. There's news that the number one Apple in America is no longer the hard-to-bruise but sometimes mealy Red Delicious, a spot it's held for about half a century. The U.S. Apple Association now says the top-selling Apple is the Gala. You pick. Granny Smith is now just ahead of Fuji, and Honeycrisps are on the rise as Golden Delicious Plateau. I know it's complicated. What we need is a pie chart. I'm Dave Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.